And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? What a night in sports last night.
It was quite a night. Doing great. Glad that it's only my mouth that can mess things up today and not my Wi-Fi.
So we're glad to.
When you have both of those as an option, that's a little bit scary.
I mean, it really, comparatively speaking, wasn't that bad yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple blips.
Because on my end, there were quite a few. Well, I don't know about quite a few. There were probably five or six times where you would start to slow down, and then you get like that. I'm like, wait a minute, what? So I'm assuming that it's glitching on my end.
It did sometimes.
With the max headroom kind of style.
I'm glad to have you back in here. Michelle, what's going on? How's life?
Life is good this morning, guys. It's Friday. Just a couple more days till I get to see my family.
Nice.
In New York for the holidays. It's a good day.
It's a good day.
Just a couple days.
Well, I mean, the weekend doesn't count because it's just not work. You know, it's relaxing.
That's right. True.
But I leave on after our show on Wednesday.
Very nice.
You got all set.
Yes, I wrapped everybody. I wrapped all the family's gifts last night.
Whoa.
So now I got to pack them. Yeah, I'm excited.
That's impressive. Everything's wrapped on the 16th? Ooh, man.
Probably need to start buying stuff, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you guys need. I'll do the shopping for you both.
All right.
Okay?
I mean, don't joke.
I'll get Katie and Heather their gifts.
Yeah. Probably need to get on that. It is December 17th.
No one's listening, right?
Heather's not.
I don't think Katie is, so we're good.
How about those Nashville Predators last night? First off, we'll get into what a weird day that was with the Predators here in just a few minutes. But given what we knew going into the game yesterday and how that evolved as the day continued to go out, both with the Predators and the Avalanche as well. Weird game last night, but the Predators get it done 5-2 at home against Colorado. Colton Sissons was the number one center in the game last night, finishes with 3 assists. Philip Forsberg, pretty nice game last night from number 9, and Roman Josi continues to do Roman Josi things. But a nice win from the Predators last night. I don't know exactly what to make of it, Joe, because both teams obviously were shorthanded heading into that game. But, I mean, Colorado, you still had Rantanen. You had McKinnon. The Predators had Forsberg and Josi and all these different guys. So I don't think it means nothing. Pretty impressive performance for the Predators last night.
Yeah. Look, it may not be everyone against everyone. But like you said, key players on both sides. And obviously just the fact that you have – I think the coolest thing to me was the coaching aspect. I mean, I just think it's cool for those guys basically to come up. Not in a great situation, but to come up from Milwaukee and just, all right, take the reins. And apparently that's happening tonight in Chicago.
Yeah.
There you go, Carl Taylor, you're in. I mean, that's just cool, you know. I mean, that's a cool story. Another cool story is that, you know, for the Avs, he was not utilized, but Dustin Smith, 33, former MTSU goalie, was ready for the Avs. And obviously Darcy Kemper. And what, Kale McCarr's positive came like an hour before the game? Yeah. Is that right? About an hour before? So, you know, they dressed 17 people. So both teams had their, you know, their issues and limitations. And they'll play again probably with, you know, hopefully with everybody there. But in the meantime, I was awfully impressed with the Preds last night.
Yep. And I tell you what, that 74 goaltender they have, pretty good. Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Saros is ridiculous. I think he may be more octopus than human. That save against McKinnon in the first period proves that each of his appendages has its own functioning brain. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Nice. Yeah. Well, what was that on top 10?
I think it was number six?
Number seven on ESPN top 10. There you go. Congratulations, UC Saros. You grew up dreaming of being on ESPN top 10. Now, and here you go.
That's right. Big game from him last night. Big win for the Predators. What a day it was yesterday. So we knew coming into the game, Johansson's on the COVID list, Granlund, Matt Luff, Michael McCarron, Philip Tomasino, Ben Harper, and John Hines and the coaching staff on the list as well, other than Dan Hynote. Well, after the morning skate yesterday, find out Dan Hinote's not going to be a part of things. Nick Cousins not going to be a part of things. Pretty incredible to watch this unfold the way it did. And I was thinking to myself, oh boy, that's pretty shorthanded going up against this Colorado team. And then Colorado ran into some COVID issues as well. Pretty incredible day yesterday. It was a good game. I guess I'm glad that they played it. My question to you is, do you think they should have played it based on everything that was going on yesterday?
Well the Avs got offered the Avs were given the option to not play when their stuff came down. Now, I have not heard that the Preds got that option, but the Avs got that option. And they voted to play. They traveled to town. They still have, like you said, they still have some of their best players available. I like the fact that they had that option, you know, because it does seem inconsistent right now in the league.
Yep.
And I know that Adam Vingan has tried to reach out to the league to, you know, get some sort of clarification on, like, why is this game's canceled with six people missing, but then this, you know, like, what are we, you know, what are you guys doing here to distinguish between these games? But in the meantime, I'm fine with it being played. I mean, look, being shorthanded is not great, but that happens also with teams with injuries at times. And I mean, I think this is kind of like with sports moving forward. If you're vaccinated and protected, and you know, and then you have enough players who can participate, I think you keep playing the games. I think it's going to happen. I think it should happen.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it was interesting. They make a bunch of moves yesterday. You got Cole Smith coming up, Rocco Grimaldi coming up from Milwaukee. They went with seven D-men last night with Philip Myers being in there as well. So you go the 11 forward, 7-D route, Tanner Janot playing with Colton Sissons and Philip Forsberg. I thought they actually looked pretty good together.
Yeah, it looked all right.
Novak with Cunningham and Tolvanen. Cody Glass getting called up last night with Trennan and Olivier. And then Cole Smith and Grimaldi. So, like, everybody that's in the lineup last night has played for you. So, like, I mean, there's this idea floating around that, like, the Predators are basically – you know, the walking wounded out there. And I guess I understand it to agree, but a lot of these guys, NHL players. I mean, everybody talks about Rocco Grimaldi, the NHL player that he's playing for you right now. So It was bad. It was not like worst case scenario for the Predators last night. Otherwise, they're probably not playing in that game, would be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, and it, you know, it's an opportunity for like a Glass, a Myers, too, of course, who obviously, you know, came in that Ryan Ellis trade. And you know, they plenty of guys. Colton Sissons. It works out pretty well. You know, when Colton Sissons is your number one center, that has worked out well at times in past years as well. So he doesn't probably, you know, it's probably a thing that is said just about every year, but like, you know, he doesn't probably get enough appreciation for what he does for this team.
He's awesome. The power play goal, where it's basically like a bumper play from Forsberg to Sissons to Janot. I mean, it was tic-tac-toe. It's beautiful. I love it when plays like that work out and the execution's really good. I mean, the goalie just has no chance on that play. If you execute that well, and they did, and you're talking about three guys that obviously don't play together a whole lot in Forsberg, Sissons and Janot do. So there is that, but pretty impressive stuff from those three last night. I was really impressed by those three.
Yeah, and then the Preds get a kill, but then the Avs have their own little tic-tac-toe right at the end of that, and I was like, oh, here we go. But then Yossi just sort of ends that idea with a Yossi moment.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
That shot is, it looks easy. It's basically a fadeaway. That's what he's doing. He's going cross body on the move, falling backwards essentially when he lets go of that puck. And it's just, it's one of those ones that's satisfying. It's in and out of the net before you even know. Dude's pretty good. He's going to be right there in the Norris Trophy conversation all year if he can stay healthy. He looks like he's on a completely different level right now.
Well, and if they, you know, a team that's now won six in a row, sitting there at 18-10-1, if they're going to be up there near the top of their division all year and be a comfortable playoff team and everything, be one of the better teams in the conference, then that's also going to help him.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a big win for the Predators last night. I saw it on Twitter after the game of like, it's always funny to look at the replies after games like that on both teams' social media accounts, and like Colorado fans are responding to like the Preds account of, well, congratulations, you beat a shorthanded Avs team, and every Preds fan's like, well, congratulations, we didn't have our leading scorer out there, and it's funny. Preds fans and Avs fans just giving it to each other last night.
Lots of congratulations back and
forth.
A lot
of congratulations.
Very nice.
Very hospitable moments on Twitter last night.
So Nick Cousins, meanwhile, who of course was a late add to the COVID list, on Twitter advocating for pausing the season till after Christmas. And he actually said to Vingan, quote, "Let everyone get healthy, let guys get the booster shots, and then get back to it after the break. Not fair to the players to play with this hanging over their heads and guys missing games," end quote. From Cousins. So I don't know how many other people agree with him. Yossi was asked, Gentry S. asked Yossi about it yesterday, and he was kind of like, "Well, are we playing? We're playing."
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like an enthusiastic, like, "Yes, we want to be out there." But hey, man, they'll take the 2 points in the win over Colorado.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of good hockey played last night.
I mean, look, there's a lot of people, and I understand why, they're going to basically discount that game as a whole. Yeah, so like if Colorado didn't run into COVID issues and they came in here and just steamrolled the Predators last night, we'd probably be talking today about, yeah, well, you didn't have Granlund, you didn't have Johansson, all these people. So I get why people are going to dismiss what happened last night. To me, I was still pretty impressed by that Predators team last night to be able to do that against that team, even though they didn't have Cale Makar. That's a big deal. They did have Nathan MacKinnon. That guy's pretty good last time I checked. Mikko Rantanen's pretty good last time I checked.
He's okay.
So a lot of people around the league probably going to dismiss that game as a whole last night. To me, this continues to tell me about this team and continues to tell me kind of the mental makeup that they have, and they're in a pretty good spot as they move forward right now. I've been and continue to be very impressed with this hockey team.
Yeah, no, I don't know how anybody wouldn't be at this point. And yeah, Johansson, Granlund, Duchesne not playing,
yep.
Tomasino, and your whole coaching staff. Yeah, you know. You were missing some people too. I mean, the two huge, you know, omissions from their lineup, obviously.
Sure.
And Kemper Makar, but you know.
Johansson and Granlund, pretty big too.
Yeah.
So big win for the Preds last night. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations. Help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry, discussing a big win last night for the Nashville Predators. They get it done 5-2 against the Colorado Avalanche. And Joe, a guy we're going to be talking about a lot as we move forward here, Philip Forsberg, another big night last night. He puts 2 on the board. I believe he has 9 goals in 11 games since coming back into the lineup, which is obviously very good. You like having Philip Forsberg out there. Another big night for him last night. And I guess my question is, do you see anything different from him? Because Adam Vingan was asked that and said, you know, not really. At times he's streaky. David Beauclair asked him that the other day. He can be streaky. Looks like he's on a hot streak right now. But, I mean, this has been pretty consistent production from him ever since he's been back in the lineup. Do you notice anything different? Do you think he's on a hot streak? What are you seeing out of Philip Forsberg right now when you watch him play?
I don't know about different. I guess different to me would be if you have to go over a longer period of time, and if you maintain production over a period of time and you don't get hurt, you know, that then I guess that would be different. He's been hurt this year already, but obviously he's always been very streaky. Right now, I don't know that is he on a heater right now. He just looks dangerous out there. You know, he just looks really good. So obviously he's healthy. I just think this is very good Philip Forsberg right now.
I mean, he's 21 points, 20 games on the season. So you're talking about over a point per game pace for Philip Forsberg at this moment. got 5 points in his last three games. He gets a couple to fall for him last night. Now, the thing to keep in mind is prior to last night, you know, he had four games in a row with no goal scored. So, like, this idea that he's just filling up the net every game, he's not. But he's playing really well right now. The guy is playing really well. The mustache makes it look like he's playing even better.
Great.
Great stuff. Mustache. By the way, did you see the Preds official account last night tweet out that video of him, I guess, after he beat his fiance in Mario? Just the voice they put on it was pretty
amazing.
Awesome.
I did not.
Yeah, you have to check that out. It's pretty awesome for the Predators.
I know Paul Skorbina called him Luigi.
Luigi.
Yeah. Nice job. Nice job, Skorbina.
Very nicely done. He's playing really well right now. Look, the closer we get to March, we're going to continue to have conversations of, all right, well, what does this mean? And look, we've talked about that a lot. We've probably exhausted that conversation at this point with Philip Forsberg. They're just in wait and see mode with what happens with him right now. But I mean, the more they win, the more I would think that this could end up being more realistic of a long term partnership. Like, to me, what really made sense from Forsberg's perspective heading into the season was, yes, you want to get as much money as you can get. And I understand that's, for some people, the chief driving force of this. And maybe it is for him, too. I don't know. But I also think, based on some conversations that I've had, another thing that you're looking for is, all right, can the team be competitive? Like, what am I signing up for here if I'm signing up for a long-term deal? Because, you know, I've not been told this, but it could stand to reason if you're Philip Forsberg, you don't have a whole lot of interest in looking around for 3 or 4 years and not being a true threat for a Stanley Cup or to get in the playoffs, whatever the case may be. We're still, relatively speaking, very early. You're 29 games in. You're not even halfway through the season. You're 18-10-1. Right now you're second place in the Central Division. My guess would be that if your perception heading into this season was, I don't know how competitive this team's going to be, that's probably changed at least a little bit at this point, I would think. The question is how much and what does that mean in terms of long-term plans for both Forsberg's side of things and how the Predators view him as well as he continues to score and pile up the points. I mean, we've talked about the $8 million a year conversation before. I'm still very hesitant on that if I'm the Predators giving that to Philip Forsberg. But if you told me this was what he was going to be, I'm probably giving him $8 million. The question is, it's really hard to know that. Even if he does this for the rest of the year, that's what he's going to be as they move forward here.
Yeah, and, you know, like last night, some people on Twitter, you know, it's always part, whether if he has a good stretch or bad stretch, he can be like, aha, see, can't sign him.
Yep.
Now it's like, how do you not sign him? Yep. You know, so it's both sides. It's his view of where this thing is going, which I would agree. You would think that it would be an improving view. I don't know how it wouldn't be. But again, he's inside there. So, I mean, there's so many factors we don't know. I mean, even John Hines. I mean, you know, I feel like Forsberg, you know, I mean, he's never really had a – I mean, you know, Forsberg is in the lineup whenever he can be in the lineup, right? He's never had any sort of issues or whatever. I mean, now I feel like everybody's on board and all pulling in the same direction. So I would think he'd feel good about that. I guess, how does he feel about the new coaching staff? We don't know this,
too. Big Carl Taylor fan.
Yeah, you know. But then on the other side, yeah, it's term and money. And, you know, someone made the point, let's say, well, look, there's plenty of cap space. Now, that could be cap space that you use to go get someone. But if you know that you have it, maybe this is the best use of the cap space. It's just, you know, do you want to anchor yourself to a deal that you're going to really – not love having in the last few years of it? No, that's also the cost of doing business as an NHL general manager.
Right. I mean, look, Roman Josi signed to a long-term deal. It looks great right now. He's probably getting underpaid at $9 million a year, which is pretty crazy to think about. There's still a decent chance that, like, in year 7 and 8 of that deal, may not look so hot.
But you know that.
But you know that.
Yeah, I mean, you know that going in. Right.
Johnny on Twitter says, sure, I hope Forsberg stays, but if we can't get him extended, I hope we get something for him. But I hope Forsberg gets to break Legwand's goal record some way, somehow. I believe he's 19 away from being the all-time leading goal scorer for the Nashville Predators. So he could do it.
Yeah. Especially if he plays the whole season here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he plays
probably will.
If he plays the whole season here, I mean, you're talking about 19 goals, and that would be 53 more games? Some quick math.
Wow, that's good. Good job.
It's doable.
Doable, especially if he's available for all those games. I really like his chances.
That's the thing. Like, if you told me right now he'll be healthy the rest of the season, yeah, he's probably going to get there.
Right.
But that's also part of the conversation with him, too.
No doubt.
Is he going to be healthy for the rest of the season?
Yeah. Yeah, it's until something happens or doesn't happen, it's just going to always, like, it's never far from the discussion of this team is what's going to go on there.
I know. It's not. I just feel like the sense I've gotten from both sides to this point is it hasn't been too high of a priority yet to try to get something done. And maybe that's just like the sense they're putting out there publicly. And behind closed doors, it's been a little bit
people
different.
People freaking out behind closed doors.
Right. I mean, maybe so. But I do wonder, like, all right, at what point of the calendar does that become maybe a sense of urgency for both sides? We're getting close to being in 2022 at this point.
Yeah, like to me, man, you got the holidays coming and then you get into – I mean, I would think that the first month of the year 2022, because then you get to – now you're counting down weeks until the deadline, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to just know if you can get something done, I think that would be a huge weight off everyone's back if they can do it. And again, it's both sides have to be – I mean, he's going to have to take some level of discount to stay here.
I would assume so. And the other thing to keep in mind, and this is especially complicated now because I don't know what's going to happen on this front, but, I mean, if the players go to the Olympics, I mean, he's probably going to go unless he doesn't feel safe going. But, like, he's good enough to be on Team Sweden, so he's probably going to go. Like, how much negotiating is Philip Forsberg going to be doing? I know he's got an agent for this. How much is that going to be happening while he's over in China playing in the Olympics? I don't know.
I mean, he can get texts over there and calls, you know?
Yeah. Wake him up in the middle of the night. Hey, what about this?
Yeah, it might be the timing may be weird.
Is this good enough?
No.
Go back to sleep.
It's 4 a.m. Leave me alone.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, an interesting memo put out by the NFL yesterday regarding changes to their COVID protocols. What does this mean as we move forward for the rest of the season here? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Friday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe, some changes yesterday to the COVID-19 protocols for the NFL. The NFL and the NFLPA negotiated some changes to the protocols, and there's kind of a lot to sort through here. But basically, what's happened here is effective immediately, the league will institute changes. And basically, the testing requirements for vaccinated individuals to return to play have been changed. So the idea there is to try to make it a little bit easier for vaccinated individuals, if they're below a certain count of scientific terms that I don't understand, to get back on the field.
Hey, there's people on Twitter with 876854 at the end of their name who know it very well.
Yes.
Just ask them.
I believe the CT value is what it's called. The CT value. So if they're under I think 35 or greater on the CT value, you can get back out there. So there's that.
Cycle threshold.
Yes, cycle threshold. So
there viral load, cycle threshold.
There you go for that. Basically, for the remainder of this week till the conclusion of week 15, you're back to mandatory mask wearing in team facilities, social distancing, grab-and-go meal service in team cafeterias, and all virtual meetings as well. So you're limited now also in the number of people in the weight room. So basically, you've gone back to last year for the remainder of this week is basically what's happened.
Yep. And I think both things are good. I mean, you know, this variant, what I'm hoping, and this is me being a doctor now on Twitter, what I'm hoping is that this variant represents, you know, like a weakening, you know, because what we've seen is that it's super transmissible. I mean, obviously the virus is flying all over the place, but also that it hasn't been all that dangerous.
Yeah.
So hopefully that trend continues. And if it does, like, so these Browns players, for example, now can all like they're all of a sudden they're missing all what eight starters, right?
Yep.
A lot of them can get and still get on the field Sunday if they get a negative. So, I mean that's how it should be. You know, if you're vaccinated and asymptomatic and you want to play, then I mean to me you should play. It's just take it to real life. Vaccinated, I'm comfortable. I don't want to get the virus. I don't want to spread it. Don't want people who are vulnerable to get it. That's sort of how everyone should look at it to me. But these guys, I'm glad that they, and I know Alan Sills like, well, this isn't loosening the standards. Well, it is it, to some degree, and it makes sense. It's common sense.
Yeah, he said that it's not about loosening our standards. If anything, we're just bringing a higher degree of precision and measuring ourselves against a more precise ruler. That got intense toward the end of that quote.
That's
there by
Sills. That's a lot of good words there. And now some new terms for everybody to recognize.
So what do you think this means in terms of protocols for the rest of the year? It's gone through week 15. So they're going to reevaluate after all this and see what happens there. I mean, hopefully the spread, like we've seen over the course of this week, slows down a little bit. And, you know, at this point, I kind of have my doubts that it will based on how it's spreading around everywhere right now. But yeah. I could anticipate this being the case for the next few weeks in the NFL, at least here.
I could, too. And, I mean, look, most of this season, it's been like normal life for the most part. It's not the exact same, but it's been like that. I mean, you have to lock it down here for a few weeks in the playoffs. I mean, at least it's a short period of time. Yeah, I mean, I hope that this turns into some little brief thing and then COVID goes away forever and ever. But realistically, there's going to be COVID variants and you know, we're all going to have to live with them. And I would guess that it's not just going to disappear with the snap of a finger. So it's probably going to be the case the rest of the season. And if everybody, if it remains, you know, evaluated the way it is right now by doctors and scientists, then I think, you know, you still may see some key players missing in some games, but for the most part, I think it's possible to get through the whole season and not have too many disruptions.
Keith from Bowling Green texting in, has Joe Rogan approved this method? Keith from Bowling Green asking the question. I'll have to ask my quarterback about that one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, ask COVID toe. Joe Rogan, I mean, that guy's busy. It's like Dr. Drew of Love, but with
podcasting,
like horseworm stuff.
Just go ask Aaron Rodgers. He's protected for the next little bit here. So see what happens.
Aaron is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to test for like another 50 days or whatever.
Nice.
So there you go. We'll see what happens on that front. I did think when this came out yesterday, my first thought kind of was about like Ryan Tannehill, who made it pretty vocal that, you know, he's not really all about the vaccine, but did it to basically not have to do all this. I do wonder how he's feeling today, you know, just based on what he put out there.
Okay, so wait, explain it. How he's feeling.
You know, basically he came out and said, you know, I didn't want to take the vaccine, but I did because I want to be a part of the team and I want to be in meetings and I want to do all these different things. And now it's basically going back to what it was last year.
Right, yeah. But still being vaccinated, you still have different
sure.
individual protocols and people who aren't. So, like, there's still a – I mean, to me, there's a big benefit and, you know, more for people who are vulnerable, but there's still a benefit, right?
Yeah. When I heard this yesterday, I was like, huh, I wonder what Tannehill's thinking right now.
Yeah, well, this news flash, COVID sucks. And
it has
for the world for like almost 2 years now.
So there's a whole bunch of different ways for vaccinated players to now return. We talked about the CT value of the PCR test. You can also have two negative MESA tests as well. So we're getting real deep into the science here on the NFL release that they put out here.
MESA.
Whatever
explain
that is.
I don't I'm trying to catch up.
Apparently, okay. Like the NFL's got some technology that I'm just not aware of.
So the MESA test returns a result in less than an hour.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. So it'll be like this is going to be a very interesting day, actually, today. You know, are we going to see a bunch of these guys who have been on the list now quickly activated to play?
Yeah.
I mean, Baker Mayfield has made his displeasure with this whole situation very well known.
Yes. He was all over Twitter yesterday, Baker Mayfield was. But, I mean, look, you know, this is one of those things where we talked about this yesterday on the show. Like, as you move closer to the playoffs here, this is going to continue to pop up, likely. So, you know, what you would hate to have happen is, you know, you got a vaccinated player out there that tests positive on a Thursday, and all of a sudden he's just out for the game on Sunday. This at least gives you a chance to get back on the field. It's not guaranteed, but at least gives you a chance to get back on the field in that scenario.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, again, the NFL has mandated the boosters, you know, with, like, all the Tier 1, Tier 2 personnel. But in theory, it could also help players. So they're highly encouraging that. And, you know, I haven't done the math, but maybe that reduces the CT value?
Maybe so.
Is that right? On the Mesa test?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Good news. I mean, we were wondering this week, and when we saw Des Fitzpatrick test positive for the Titans, we were wondering this week, all right, well, we saw it kind of last year at one point. It was one positive test here, one positive test there, and then it just kept coming for the Titans. I feel okay right now about maybe that not being the case so far, so that's good news for the Titans on that front.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had when exactly was Fitzpatrick?
Was it Monday? I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's where your mind goes, of course, is like, is this going to start becoming just like a daily thing? And it hasn't become that. So, knock on all the wood you got near you. But it looks like full strength teams playing Sunday, full strength in terms of this at least, compared with what does Washington have, 17 on right now?
Yeah.
So, 21 on it now, 11 starters on it.
Oof.
Rams, 13 have been placed in the past week, including Ramsey, Beckham, Henderson. So, again, maybe today, maybe, hopefully, there are a bunch of those names that all of a sudden get restored to play Sunday.
It's Free Beer Friday served by Joyland here today in East Nashville. Text in the keyword right now, which is joy, to the game line text line at 615-737-1025. That's joy to 615-737-1025. And be qualified to win a Joy Beer and Joyland's new Smash Burger Deluxe. Set up our text line at 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get into a wild game last night between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chargers and take a look at what that does for the AFC picture and how it affects the Titans as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvick here with you on this Friday morning. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, the Chiefs are on top of the AFC. What just happened? I feel like they played us all. Chiefs with a big win last night, 34-28 against the Chargers. What a game that was, and what an ending that was. Travis Kelce with the walk-off touchdown, and yes, here they are, 10-4 right now, the Kansas City Chiefs.
They wouldn't be if Brandon Staley didn't hate kickers.
Apparently.
Just hates the kickers. Fourth and whatever, sure, let's go. You got a chance for points here. Got a chance for points.
Well, the first one, it wasn't like it's fourth and goal from like the one. I can live with that.
Yes.
It's fourth and goal from the one. Okay, go for it.
Yes.
It was the five. It's like, just kick the field goal, man. What are you doing? It's the first quarter.
Right. The other, the second one was like, what, from the one? Or yeah. Okay. Then there was one when they were like at like with the 27 or whatever. That's probably three more points you could add. I mean, I think you go into a game against the Chiefs and you probably tell yourself, if we settle for threes. And I understand analytics will tell you, and analytics are important. You should use analytics. You also should not be exclusively guided by analytics. You know, you gotta go with feel. And the Chiefs just kept coming. I mean, the Chargers moved up and down the field with absolute ease all night. But the Chiefs came up with those big plays, when the field got tight.
Yeah, so. It's kind of the opposite of the way things have gone for the Chiefs lately. Of their defense, to me last night, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, it looks a little bit more like Chiefs defense that we've seen for a lot of this year. And the offense came a lot last night.
Yeah. Then, of course, they didn't have Chris Jones.
There is that.
So
seems like he's a pretty big difference maker for that group.
He's important. So so was this good or bad for the Titans that the Chiefs won last night?
I mean, I say bad because, you know, if the Chargers win that game, then both teams are sitting at 5 losses, right? So, yes, you still have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs if you're the Titans, if it comes down to it. But you get a little bit more margin of error with the Chiefs, too, if they lose last night.
Except. Like,
the Chargers are going to lose another time,
well,
I think.
Let's look at their schedule. At the Texans, home against the Broncos, at the Raiders. I'm not sure about that.
I think they'll drop one of them.
Okay, well, they might.
Because I just don't trust them.
Well, that's fine. I mean, they might. Yeah, they might. I mean, I guess the Broncos could potentially get them in that game. But that schedule is pretty favorable. And actually, tiebreaker-wise, you know, they would beat out the Titans. Now, the Titans would still have to lose a game. This
right.
means, I think, you know, this means the Titans, if they want the one, probably need to win out. Now, the Chiefs do have a game at Cincinnati. They got the Steelers at home. They go to Cincinnati. Then they go to Denver. You know, Denver could be playing to get into the playoffs.
I mean, you and I just keep dismissing the Broncos. And
yeah.
Here they are. I mean, they're there. I don't think they're very good, but they're there.
I don't think they're very good either. They look good. They look dominant against the Lions.
Yes, they did.
I'll give them that. But, you know, in that place, if they're playing for a playoff spot, you never know. I mean, at Cincinnati, that's a challenging game for the Chiefs. So they still could drop one. But probably, if you're the Titans, and it's great to have that tiebreaker against them, probably you need to go ahead and rip off 4 more in a row here to get the one.
I would say you're probably right. And here they are. I mean, they're on fire right now. They're, along with the Patriots, the hottest team in the AFC at the moment in Kansas City. And, you know, it's funny to think about midway through the season, everybody's like, man, what's going on with the Chiefs? I still, like, they still, to me, have not looked unbeatable like they've looked at times the last couple of years. So I do think that, I mean, the playoff picture here still is very interesting to me because,
yeah,
honestly, like, the last 2 years, it's been like, all right, nobody's beating the Chiefs in the AFC. I don't really feel that way this year, but if I had to identify a favorite right now, it'd probably be the Chiefs.
No, I agree. They're the favorite. They are right now at this moment on December 17th less of a favorite than I would have expected going into the year. There's much less of a gap between them and a lot of teams, I think, in this conference than I would have guessed this year. Now, I thought the Titans could be close as anyone else to them going into the year, and of course, this Titan season has been so different than what we ever would have guessed. There's so many things have happened that you just can't predict, but they're still right there. And obviously the Patriots right now are 9-4. That's going to be – if the Patriots win out, of course. Actually, I don't know. Yes, no, it will be the Chiefs, right? Yes, the Chiefs are the one. They have the tiebreaker over the Patriots. I expect that would continue – Is that right?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, the Patriots were just one until the Chiefs won yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, the other way around. And, I mean, you can look at it right there. The Patriots are 7-1 in the conference. The Chiefs are 5-4. So, well, yeah, okay, that's right. The Chiefs are the one only because they're 10-4 now. So, it'll be the Patriots. It'll be the Patriots and it'll be the Chiefs. Well, if that is how it works out and the Titans are tied, they'd be the two. Obviously, I think you'd want to, one thing you want to do is you want to avoid the Chiefs as long as you can. First, you want to win your division, know that you have a home game, and go from there. But look, the one is on the table. I think if you're a Titans fan, if you're confident, you got Bud Dupree coming back. I think on Sunday, getting healthier, and you root for the Colts Saturday night.
I think so too. I mean, I said that early in the week. It's pretty clear to me. Like, you got to root for the Colts to win that game. You need to keep, as long as you have a hope for a one seed, you got to keep that alive in your mind if you're a Titans fan. Now, obviously, it goes without saying, you need to go out and win this game against Pittsburgh on Sunday. We'll get a little bit more into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But this is still, I mean, we've talked about how maybe 12-5 is going to be enough to get it done in the AFC to get the one seed with tiebreakers in there and whatever. It may actually take 13-4 now.
Yeah, it may. I mean, you know, I still think there's some surprises to come. And I would not. I won't be very surprised at all. I don't know what the line is, but if the Patriots lose in Indy Saturday night, I won't be that surprised. And frankly, I'm not going to be shocked if the Bills go in and beat them. We'll see. A week later,
you do love you some Buffalo Bills.
Joe, you are on the Bills
he
train.
He loves him some
every
Bills.
Game.
My goodness.
Well, I mean, look at their last game. I mean, they're down and out, and it was a heck of a comeback against the mighty, unbeatable Tom Brady and company, and they blew it. But
he did win.
Yes, he did win. This is true. The Pharaoh
again. The
emerged.
Pharaoh strikes again.
Yeah. Rose like a sphinx.
44, just spring chicken.
Yeah, like a stewed chicken. I still think the Bills are dangerous. I do. They're dangerous. I think they could make a run in the playoffs, and they absolutely may not be in the playoffs.
By the way, Colts favored by 2.5 in that game against the Patriots.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. I mean, the Patriots have the Colts or the Bills, which could put them at 6. They are at Miami at the end. They got the Jags vacation on January 2nd.
The Jags are free now. The Trevor Lawrence spoke yesterday. It says the firing of Urban Meyer gives the team focus and clarity. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
So the Jags are about to be dangerous coming down the stretch.
Yeah, I saw his...
good thing the Titans got that out of the way.
Yeah. He handled that well, by the way. Trevor Lawrence handled that well. Just sort of, you know, he's not throwing Urban Meyer under the bus. But he was honest. Like, it's just been distractions all year caused by, you know, by the head coach. You're right, though. Maybe Daryl Bevel gets those guys... geared up to fight to have a worse draft position.
Did you see what Daryl Bevel said yesterday? It was like, yeah, you know, Urban, he's gone around like midday yesterday. Yeah. He never came back. He's just gone.
Yeah, just left.
Didn't say anything. He's just out of here.
I mean, I'm assuming that was what the stuff came out about Lambeau, and then he got out.
I guess he'd go to like the local watering hole.
Maybe, man. To do what? Let's not speculate.
There's no telling. But kind of like the perfect ending to that story of, yeah, he left the facility yesterday. Nobody had any clue where he was. Yeah. Nowhere to be found.
Good luck, guys. Good luck preparing. Who are they playing this week?
Texans. Yeah. What a matchup that's going to be.
It's actually a winnable game.
Need all the preparation you can get for Davis Mills. He's peering into the Jaguars facility from Houston.
God.
I've got to stop at some point.
Oh, man.
I just don't know when that point's going to be.
Your Davis Mills obsession.
Can't wait till 2024 when Davis Mills is the backup quarterback for Tannehill. Out there just slinging around. It's going to be awesome.
Wow. That'll be fun. I'll have to do some live remotes out from camp. See if he can do an interview with us from like 10 yards away.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans, take a look at the matchup against the Steelers. Joe Rexroder will give his 3 keys to victory for the Titans as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroder here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.